I just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours, Springfield. Go to hell, you old bastard.
Hey, I think they like us.
Every rooster's killed.
Oh, sir, those aren't...
Do as I say.
There are several fine young men who I'm sure...
Happy birthday, old boy. For yesterday.
Yeah, why do I keep getting called old boy, everybody? I'm only 39. Jesus Christ. You're the ones that are all 40 and 50, you sons of bitches.
Oh, 50?
Anyway, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. Thank you for that. We are talking round 13 of NRL, and there's obviously a lot of other NRL problems, issues, a lot of NRL-related stuff going on.
There is just some action this week on and off the field.
Yeah, so we'll start with on the field with the games. The first game was Thursday night. Roosters, I guess, kind of just sort of getting home in the end against the Dragons, 24-16.
Yeah, no, that was, I guess, you know, it's sort of a decent game. Not a great start for St. George. First set, third tackle, I believe it was, and Tarek Sims decides to drop the ball and just gives the Roosters essentially one-way traffic for the first, you know, 20-25 minutes of the game. Yeah. And well, once again, you know, a poor start from St. George. They've had that sort of problem this year where they just give teams a head start and too much of a head start, and they just can't claw their way back. And then by the time that the end of the game comes around, they're too far out of it and they have to play, you know, too much expansive football, and they just can't claw their way back into it. Like they fought their way back into the game. You know, it was 10-all at halftime. So, you know, even with that, and they ended up, by the time the end of the half happened, they had 55% of possession.
Yeah, yeah.
So they turned it around.
Yeah, they did. I think they've found their centre pairing for, God, 5 or 10 years in Ewan Aiken and Zach Lomax. Zach Lomax obviously getting tries again, but Ewan Aiken topping their run meters at 221. I think both of them. I've always liked Zach Lomax, but, yeah, Ewan Aiken's definitely growing on me.
Well, it could be a new age Matt Cooper and Gasnier sort of centre pairing. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, they were stalwarts at the club for a long time. You know, State of Origin. I think I'm pretty sure they both represented Australia. So you know that's a good look at the future for St. George. Just the present at the moment is just looking. Yeah, and in saying that, by the end of the game, like both teams ended up completing above 90%.
Yeah.
So it was still an entertaining game, but the scoreline, I think, flattered St. George a little bit. You know, 24-10, where it was just before the Dufty try. You know, a couple of minutes before full time. I think sort of flattered St. George a little bit.
Yeah, and I just still think that, I mean, obviously they were missing Paul Vaughan, which we'll talk about later, but I just think in that game they were missing just a little bit of go forward. I mean, there's Trent Merrin still, I don't think he's on the outer, but he's just not getting many minutes here at all. He only got 23 in that game.
He's just that bench guy that's going to come in and maybe give you 20, 25 minutes. The thing that I sort of found a little bit interesting before the game even started, you know, Corey Norman being dropped from the side, basically in favour of Adam Clune again, who's back healthy. So he's on the nose a little bit there. He's an $850,000 player,
yeah,
who is running around, and just things that I've sort of read just as the weekend of football was sort of going on, that it's news to the coach. Like Mary McGregor doesn't know anything about this, but there's rumours floating around that there could be a player swap happening for Gareth Widdop,
which is interesting.
That's the other thing that's come out is McGregor knows nothing about it. So whether he's just sort of playing a bit of poker and putting his poker face on a bit,
or because he doesn't know anything.
That's it too. You know,
the other two.
It might be genuine surprise. So, I just find that strange that they're giving this. Just could be, you know, what Corey Norman needs. You know, a bit of a kick up the ass a little bit to go right. You know, just because you're on that big fat pay packet doesn't mean we have to find a spot for you in this first grade side. You have to work and get. Yeah, you have to make your way back into this first grade side. It's not a given.
And the reason I find it weird was the whole reason Gareth Widdop is back over in England, because he's the one that pushed to go out. Like he wanted to go back home. He was feeling
homesick after being here for how long?
So exactly. And he was here seven years. He's nearly 30. But it's nothing wrong with being 30, but he's not like he's any younger. So. Yeah, it's a weird one. I heard the same thing. I didn't buy into it that much, and there's been no legs.
Not really. It was just one of those things that was just sort of floated around. You know, it just so happened that it came out this week after. And another curious one with Trent Robinson sort of screens out there and supposedly in inverted commas dropping Kyle Flanagan.
Well, he did drop him. Technically, that's correct. He came out and he said
he's not being rested or anything like that. He's been unseated by Lachlan Lamb.
I'm not buying it. Yeah. He's obviously dropped. There's obviously, well, to me, I don't think, you know, and this is purely going off the way I've seen Lachlan Lamb play, plus the fantasy points he's not getting for me either. I don't think Lachlan Lamb's definitely upseated Kyle Flanagan at all.
There's
possibly,
like, you know, Kyle Flanagan has been good for what is he, 20?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, he's been amazing with the boot, kicking penalties, kicking conversions. Yeah, you know, so he's got that going for him. It just doesn't warrant dropping. So. Yeah, you know, Trent Robinson, you might be fooling a lot of people, but you're not fooling me.
What's interesting is it's only his first year in that contract, so I mean, who knows? It could be confidence, could be a lot of reasons. I mean, I guess they're playing well enough to win, so they don't need him if it's helping to get to the finals, but he's still young.
Then just say he's been rested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Say he's being rested. Next game was Friday, the Warriors. Just defying a lot everybody, and I'm assuming tippers and people that have put money against the Warriors are winning 26-22 over Manly. Everything I watched with it was just an out and out great performance from the Warriors, because they literally clawed their way. Two of the win, especially in their defense.
Oh yeah, no, that they have been stellar defensively. In their wins, but you know, even in some of their losses, they've been pretty good as well. Like they dominated the game early. It was wet. They come out like a house of fire, but they just once again, like they just let little lapses in concentration. Carl Lawton was sent to the bin for 10.
Yeah.
And it just let Manly back in. And it just gave him a sniff. And even though it was what, 20 points to 10 at half time, it just, you know, Manly just, they won't go away. They're just going to stay in the hunt, stay in the fight. And then the second half sort of come around and they just, like I said, you know, Manly wouldn't go away, but they just didn't quite have the go forward like St. George did in the game on Thursday night. They lost to Powell and they lost Aiden Fanua-Blake in that game due to injury, so that's always going to hurt. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch up front along with Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah,
so to lose both your starting props, that's always going to be tough to overcome for Manly.
Yeah, and that was pretty much, that's how I sort of took, I guess, their loss. I mean, yeah, still full credit to the Warriors, but was seeing Fenua Blake go down in 19 minutes, I thought, well, I mean, he has, you know, all the COVID sort of stuff aside, I think he's been their best player all year, Fenua Blake,
He's definitely been up there as one of their best.
So having him going down in 19 minutes, yeah, I didn't sort of bode well for him. And like you said, even in the second half when Jack Hetherington got that sin bin at 51 minutes, yeah, Same thing happened. Then them back just, in, they scored another try.
Kept Manly in the game. Like, yeah, just those little lapses in concentration will, you know, if they actually have, which I'm sure they do, they'll have aspirations of making the finals now. You can't do those against good teams, against teams that are in form. And Manly have been sort of up and down a little bit this year. You know, injuries have hit them hard to star players and important players. And you just can't make those lapses and not expect to be punished for them. And they were punished for them, but they still got the 2 points.
What's interesting is they tried, and I don't know if this is a tactic or just who was there at the time, but Warriors tried 3 kickers in that game, which was really peculiar.
Yeah, Nick Arima got axed after missing one, and it was
Savita weird. Savita then, you know, got one, missed one, and then they tried Patrick Herbert at the end there. It was really weird. Like, yeah, I mean, I know you're trying to chase points, but come on.
Running out of fresh kicking legs.
Yeah. But, yeah, good win. Definitely terrible weather, but still good win by the Warriors.
The weather down south, you know, especially, you know, the Sydney area, you know, the New South Wales area is terrible again this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I don't know about you up in Townsville, but all over, I think it was raining. It was raining here all weekend, so.
No.
It's Townsville, so probably not. not a drop. Next game was the South Sydney Rabbitohs getting over the much maligned Brisbane Broncos 28-10.
If you listen to Seabold's press conference after the game, they show great resilience in that game. So if that's what great resilience looks like to him with that team, woof, they have got some underlying issues there, and they have got some underlying issues there, but... Man, it's that, yeah, those, the roots of that tree go very deep into the soil.
That's a really good way of putting it. It wasn't, I mean, again, the you know, if I was pointing at people that were good in that side, Payne Huss, you know, and even Darius Boyd to an extent, but Payne Huss was great. It was the only person sort of that I could see going.
Should he be playing 80 minutes? I know do you know what I mean? Like, it just in well-beaten sides, especially recently, like, you know, he's trying his absolute heart out, but yeah, it just whether or not he loses some effectiveness, you know, a la Jason Tamalolo, you know, surely they can find a way to give him 10 to 12 minutes of rest.
Considering he not only seems to consistently not only top the run meters, but he also tops the tackle count.
He's topping the tackle count as well. He's just doing so much work. He is a machine. He's getting through so much work. But that's not going to bode well, I think, you know, in seasons to come. At the end of the year, you're just going to burn him out.
No, I mean. And especially, like, and he might want to rest. Like, I mean, coming up, he's to me one of the, you know, one of the standout forwards that should be in the New South Wales side. And
yeah,
he
absolutely.
might elect not to play purely because he's burnt out.
He should,
but like considering what Broncos have been going through, like, yeah, it was.
He's going to want a break from losing football. That's what he's going to want.
Well, that's probably true. I agree, but there's not much. I mean, there's not much love on the bench. Matthew Lodge is back, so he only played sort of 37 minutes. Ben Teo just seems to be.
I don't know. It's such a waste of a signing of Ben Teo at the moment.
Yeah, 100%.
I just don't know what they're doing with him. They're not playing him a whole lot of minutes. You know, if he's getting, I think the most he's played all year is about 28 minutes. Like, he's only getting around the 20 to 25 minutes of game time. It just seems a waste. Like, they lack that leadership. And that's another thing that we can that we'll go into a little bit later with Darius Boyd. Like you said, he's actually been all right. I thought Herbie Farnworth as well, he was good. Tommy Dearden, the more he plays first grade, the more he looks, you know, the more the looks he good looks the goods.
Comfortable.
And he's got a huge forward pack to work behind. He should be looking good. Yeah, you know, they should be providing him with a very good platform to get him the space he needs to be able to work.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was Fifita's first game back. I mean, no one expected. Well, it depends who you talk to. No one expected lights out sort of performance from him.
He was rusty.
So, but once he's back into it, having Payne Haas, Fifita, and no point. We'll talk about that later.
Lodge.
You know, Matthew Lodge, Flegler. Flegler's a massive human being.
They've just got size everywhere up front. It's crazy. But you know, I thought South played the better wet weather football.
Yep.
And just too much ill discipline for Brisbane. Like, they ended up getting 11 penalties for that game as a total. And it just gave South too much ball, 58% of possession. So if you're trying to, and they're chasing the game, they're chasing it from the start. So when you're trying to come back in wet weather football, you don't have the ball, you're giving away penalties, you're giving away easy meters, and you're on the back foot all the time. It's not going to happen.
I guess after a shaky start to the season, I think Latrell Mitchell's going bonanza at the number one. You know, he topped the run meters, sorry. But, yeah, I think he's a lot more comfortable there now. Not only just a shaky start of the season, but just the stuff that he was going through.
I think that was always on the cards, you know. Like, he hasn't played a lot of consistent fullback. So to be there week in, week out, like, you know, at the Roosters, he might have been there 1 week and then back in the centres the next week. And then he was just sort of a stopgap. Whereas this year, you know, Wayne has stuck with him at fullback. It takes some adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, again, another good win by South. The first Saturday game was Melbourne up against the Bulldogs. And look, Melbourne just, again, do what Melbourne have been doing all year. It was against Bulldogs, but, yeah, winning 41-10.
Showtime. It was showtime.
Yeah, it was.
And Canterbury, to me, like we said before, Canterbury haven't been – they've been pretty good lately.
Yeah, they have. And
without bearing the fruits of getting two competition points, but they just got blitzed.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, the biggest takeaway, I mean, it was blitz. They were blitz. To me, obviously, the biggest takeaway was Munster going down just after half time. So I think he's only going to be 2 to 3 weeks out, which is okay. But
medial ligament. So, that's not terrific. But, yeah, 2 to 3 weeks. So, even the big teams are being tested injury-wise.
Yeah.
Key injury wise, so Pappenhausen in that game as well. Obviously, no Cameron Smith, no Munster for a lot of that game. So for them to be able to put on a performance like they did is just scary.
Against
a team who's been relatively, I won't say in form, but you know they've been a lot better than what their position on the ladder suggests.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of the head high on Munster against Lachlan Lewis? I mean, obviously he got 10 minutes, but
It didn't look good, but the more you look at the replay, he's really bounced up off his chest, and the tackles looked a lot worse than what it really was. I didn't think that it deserved 10 minutes. Looked bad. I didn't think so. The optics of it were terrible. But the more you look at the replay, you see he chops him across the shoulders, and then his head ends up snapping back. So it looks terrible, but I didn't the penalty was sufficient enough. I absolutely didn't think it was worth 10 in the bin.
I think I did purely because, I mean, the refs only got to go off what they see in that kind of situation. And that's
fair
exactly
enough.
From what you said, they see.
We're watching it on TV. So, you know, we're getting multiple replays and it's right here. We're getting multiple replays, 47 different angles. So, it didn't look good initially, but the more you watch it, I just don't think it deserved 10 in the bin.
No, that's right. Like you said, when Pappenhausen out, Nico Hines played in his position, which, just another scary possible, really good. He's only 24, young fullback, and, you know, he played really well.
They've got to try and find a spot for him too, haven't they? Far out.
And he's got a boot on him too.
Yeah.
He knows how to kick a ball. Which is what he had to when Munster went down. But, man, look, Melbourne, I mean, we'll talk about Penrith later, but Melbourne, you know, they clearly are one of the benchmarks or the heavyweights this year. I think it's pretty evident, except for possibly the Panthers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's the Western Sydney teams, you know, Penrith, Parramatta, Melbourne. They're all playing well. The thing that I sort of found a little bit funny about this as well was Aiden Tolman actually started on the bench.
I'm just
speechless. I couldn't believe when he had the 15 on his back. I'm just like, what has he done? And they gave the big unit Ogden the start, and it's just like, well, what's he done to unseat Aiden Tolman and put Tolman on the bench? Like, I'm always an advocate of, it shouldn't really matter whether you're a bench player or a starter. If you're playing starters minutes, then it doesn't matter if you come off the bench. But if you're coming off the bench and if you're in good form, like Aiden Tolman is, it just doesn't make any sense why he put him on the bench the way he did.
The only thing, I mean, like anything, when I see someone on the bench like that is I go straight to see when their contract details, our contracts are up, and his finishes at the end of this year. So unless, it's hard to speculate.
Yeah, but George Ellis isn't going to, he could just go back to an assistant. I don't know if he's going to be an assistant under Trent Barrett. So,
Barrett could say, why don't we just try? It could be, who knows? He could be just, you wouldn't think this would happen, but he could be just saying, well, let's try this young guy because Tolman's, you know, finished at the end of this year anyway, so they should extend him at least, I would think.
Exactly, that's the thing. Just because of that, what, you don't think they're going to extend him?
I don't know.
They'd be mad to let him go.
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, he'd possibly would want to go. I don't know. I think he'd want to go over to England, I think. I reckon he'd get a lot more money.
Oh, yeah, he'd get a hell of a lot more money.
So, I agree. They'd be mad to let him go, but depends what Barrett's looking for.
I love the last minute Addo Carr try with the Jerome Hughes kick off the scrum. That was amazing. That's just pure unadulterated speed.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get there, is he? No, he is going to get there. It's like, holy mackerel.
That's when you know you've got a big lead.
You're just toying with him. You're just toying with him.
Yeah. You know, you've got a big lead. You're just toying with him. And you're just saying, well, we try this at training. Let's see if it works here because you've got a massive lead.
And it come off.
What's the worst that could happen? And yeah, clearly it came off.
That was
pretty good, actually. Next game was the Newcastle Knights. They had to come out and prove something, and boy, did they prove something. They smashed the Tigers 44-4.
Yeah, it's Saturday night showtime. Like, once again, like, Newcastle have sort of put those, I guess, sort of form woes a little bit behind them. And Wests aren't in the greatest of form either, but you can only play who's in front of you. And yeah, Newcastle looked like a very competent team. The team that I guess, well, I thought that they could have been, you know, knocking on the door of the top four, especially since the restart of the NRL. they've looked really good. You know, they've spluttered along the way a little bit, you know, lost to the Cowboys whenever they've come up against the big teams, you know, that are on top of the ladder. They've faltered a lot. But they absolutely turned it on in this game.
It was, I mean, to me, it was the Caelan Ponga show. I mean, like I said a couple of weeks ago, or possibly last week, that, you know, not that he's just to justify what he's getting paid, because he's a great player, but I think what he is getting paid, he needed to stand up a little bit more.
He stood up. He left multiple players, especially Benji Marshall, just clutching at air as he was getting around him. It's just like, ooh. Now I remember, just crazy. But the other thing was too, like, you know, it's Newcastle played terrific, but also West were their own worst enemy. You know, errors coming out of their own half.
Yeah.
They were so bad. It looked like the shuffle, possibly might have worked, like the player shuffle a little bit. Walters went to the bench. They brought Brooks back at six, Benji at seven. Joey Leilua was back. Moses Mbai at nine. I just thought that might have been a little bit more better balance. You know, obviously Maguire is chopping and changing with Brooks and Billy Walters. Kind of sucks because Billy Walters just destroyed every ligament in his knee. In a fairly sort of, I don't know, innocuous looking injury. It didn't look that great, but oh boy, he was in some pain on the ground.
Yeah,
and it looks like he's done everything. He's done ACL and medial and PCL and meniscus and whatever else you've got in your knee as well. Like he's in a lot of straw. He's done a Seth Rollins when his knee exploded a couple of years ago.
For just like a simple just flipping over off the top rope.
That's right.
Before just
completely exploded.
Before that, but I'm not still completely sold on Luke Brooks. I mean, not that he's been there for a few years, but I thought Billy Wallace.
He's been there. Yeah, they have put a lot of faith in him, and they've kept him at the club. He's just not showing that potential that he did as a young man there with Mitchell Moses.
No,
like they were the two young gun halves, and when you thought, you know, after Benji had gone, and you think, wow, these two kids here, and this is what, 5-6 years ago, these two guys here are the future there, and they looked really good on potential, and you know Mitchell Moses has sort of gone from strength to strength at another club, maybe it's time for Luke Brooks to put the feelers out and. To maybe leave the Tigers.
Well, that's precisely that. I think they firstly kept the wrong one. They should have kept Mitchell Moses in too. Yeah. It's possibly just their retainment, probably not recruitment, but their retainment. I mean, you could say the same thing, although he pushed himself out and Ryan Madison, but the only one that they've retained that looks the goods has been great all year is David Nofaluma.
He's been a terrific winger for the last three, four seasons.
That's right, and he's re-signed again until the end of next year. You can't blame him. I mean, they've kept the Mitchell Moses is playing outstanding, and look, Luke Brooks isn't, but I still think they need someone in either. Well, it depends how long Benji plays, but they need a half 5'8". I don't know where they're going to find one. But they need someone, I think.
Well, this is Benji. This is Benji's last year. Like, I'm pretty sure he's come out at the start of the year and said, this is it. This is his swan song. So, because that's why a few people had sort of cracked up that he was on the bench and then out of the side altogether at the start of the year when they know that this is his last season. But, you know, Maguire is looking for wins. So he's looking to make the finals. He wants to finish higher than seventh. So, the Tigers have in the last few years. They've just been agonizingly close to the top.
It feels like the last 10 years they finished the ninth. They just can't get past number nine. So, Knights play good. They seem to just pick the, when they have centers playing for them, They just get the weirdest center names, like Tex Hoy, which we both love. But then they got this Geremet Shibaski.
Shibasaki.
From Townsville. He's a Townsville boy.
Yeah, he came from the Broncos last year.
Yeah, but he's born up at Townsville. Well, up at Townsville, played for Townsville Brothers. So he's a young Townsville boy. But yeah, I just listening to when they said Shibasaki.
Yeah, Shibasaki. Yeah, he doesn't fit. He doesn't quite fit the bill looking as a Shibasaki. You know, that's it's what I mean. They've got a good sort of center / wing rotation going at the moment. Obviously Bradman Best is hurt and he's out for a little while now. So they've got the luxury of somebody like Shibasaki who can come in. And another former Cowboy in Irani Tuala as well, who's playing out in the wing. So they've got a good rotation. Edric Lee is still to come back as well. Like he was in really good form before he got hurt. So that they've got a really good back line at Newcastle, and with players like David Clemmer, they're obviously on their fourth or fifth, sixth string hooker now. I'm not sure they, but Kurt Mann, is Mr. Fix It there at the moment. So, you just hope that they can sort of be, the team that they've been touted to be over the last, at least two seasons.
Yeah.
To be knocking on the door at least of the finals.
Yeah.
Like we said, Wes, pretty ordinary, 69% completion. There were six Newcastle forwards over 100 metres, so they were just blasting up the front.
Mm-hmm.
So it just puts more pressure and woes on the West Tigers at the moment.
Next Saturday game, the final Saturday game, was the Panthers, looks just flexing their heavyweight credential championship muscles, beating the Raiders 28-12. Just every time I watch Penrith, they just look the goods.
See, this is the Raiders. This is the Raiders team that I thought they were going to be after they lost. Josh Hodgson, a little rudderless, sort of directionless. Still classy, but Penrith, the funny thing was to start that game, it was all Canberra. It took Penrith nearly 7 minutes to actually touch the ball.
Yeah.
And then the only time they touched it was to kick it off.
But then when they touched it, they scored. That was
exactly. As soon as they touched the ball, they scored. So it was amazing. Yeah, the game that they put together. Charles Nicol Klokstad was massive in that game. They just looked overwhelmed, Canberra. It was just a bit of an avalanche by Penrith. They smothered them in a lot of areas, and they just couldn't get out of it. The Canberra had a sniff, I guess, towards the end of the game, and Penrith sort of kept them in the contest, probably late in the second half, with some silly errors and things like that.
The completion rate was terrible. I'm surprised they got. Yeah. So you're right. I mean, they gave him so many chances to let him back in. I mean, fortunately they won the game, but
referees and Ivan Cleary had come out and said in the press conference as well that he thought that the referees helped Canberra a lot to get them or to try and get them back in the game, and I absolutely agree with him. The bogus call that was challenged by Rapana as he was sliding out and his butt touched the line, but it was just such an ordinary call, and they blow a penalty for a second man in, and it's just like, no, he's already sliding, like he's out, but they gave him a penalty for a second man in the tackle, but he's still got momentum forward. Okay, yes, he's sliding on the ground. But if you're in the act of scoring a try and you slide in, and even though your ball carrying arm is on the ground, your momentum's still going forward. He was still going forward. And it was just another driver that had come in the tackle. And he's tapping his head like, oh, how smart am I by challenging that ruling? They get a bogus call. And that sort of gets them in the game. Nickel Klokstad scores, and they've got a sniff. You know, Penrith snuffed it out pretty quick, but just yeah, I 100% agree with Ivan Cleary. I thought they were, and he's been pinged with a $20,000 fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's been nicked for that, but yeah, he was bang on the money, bang on the money.
Yeah, he was bang on the money, but again, as a coach, you can't say that. I mean, you lose 20 grand.
Absolutely not. You just
can't. Who pays that? So does it come out of his money?
Well, it depends on if it's – sometimes you know, clubs will come out, and if it's totally warranted, or if it's a bit of a you know, a nasty rant and it's warranted, then the club might come out and say, look, we'll pay the $20,000 fine. But I think that's coming out of his fat pocket.
I would say it's coming out of his fat pocket. I thought they were going away with it after that first half at 24-0.
Yeah, absolutely. So
this is like what you were saying before, that, yeah, they just let him back in there with a terrible completion rate. But, again, I just think Penrith, yeah, they look – they're sitting first for a reason. They look really, really, like, really good this year. I'm still not completely sold on – purely because, I mean, it's probably because Nathan Cleary's there, he doesn't have to do much, but I'm not completely sold on Jerome Luai, but because I don't know what he's offering. But
he's a good complementary piece, and I think that's all you can really sort of hope for when you've got a dominant halfback like Cleary is. So,
yeah.
But that's, I mean, they're doing it with a lot of non-superstars in key positions. You know, at fullback, you know, they've had Dylan Edwards there. In previous weeks. So, you know, they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it just with guys in good form and good team play.
The next game was the time. just look at Plum's facial expressions. A great win by the Gold Coast Titans over the North Queensland Cowboys, 30-10.
Should have been expected, really. Like,
yeah.
What would make you think that the form that North Queensland's been in as of recent weeks? Why would you think that they would be able to come out of the Gold Coast with a win?
Because the first thing, like, I mean, straight away, you see Michael Morgan's back on the side. There's some sort of you'd have as a Cowboys fan to think, he's going to change everything in one game, but there's some sort of hope that they could play well. He played terribly, and not terribly. He just didn't play.
He was exposed defensively,
yeah.
which is a terrific game plan, you know, to go after. In the first half,
yeah.
They just got out enthused and they got out efforted. That's not a word, but they got. But just the effort by the
perfect yeah, but say,
the effort by the Gold Coast was amazing, and that's the kind of games that they've been playing lately, and not bearing the fruits of playing well, and they put the Cowboys to the sword in the first half.
Yeah, they did. Your boy AJ Primson played phenomenally well at the fullback. I know you love him. Yeah, no, he played well, not just because he got the two tries. He just overall played well.
Really like him. He's been a good spark since he's come back. It's taken a long time. Like, he was expected to come back, you know, in round two or round three at the start of the year. You know, obviously with the couple of months that they had off, and it's taken him this long to come back in. So I guess they're sort of whether they're wrapping him in cotton wool just to make sure that he is absolutely right, and he has just been a firecracker since coming back.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting now where. I don't know where Corey Thompson fits in.
That's right.
You know,
they've got a good back line as well. You know, Philip Sammy, Anthony Don on the wings. You know, Brian Kelly, Dale Copley at centre. Like that, they've got a good back line, and AJ Brimson just brings that X factor that somebody like, you know, a Philip Sammy who's not a true fullback, Corey Thompson, they just don't provide.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I guess on the Cowboys side, what do you say really? Like poor completion rate.
So early they play such compressed defensively.
Yeah.
They just keep getting burnt week after week, player after player, just getting torched on the outside. Yeah. And they've got guys that out there, like Caulfield isn't a super speed, so he's quick. But they've got guys, they've got Justin O'Neill out on the wing. He's being roasted every time. Like the first try that come, like, oh my God, like this, is this happening again? They just can't get their defensive structures right. Too many guys are jumping out of the line to try and make hero one-on-one tackles. They just need to hold their line of defense, but they don't trust each other.
That's how I thought exactly what you just said. They were too compressed because they've been burned on that center winning position every time. Didn't matter who was there, if it was Feld, if it was Justin O'Neill, they were just getting burned on the side. Or they just, because they were playing too compressed, no one was sliding along when they needed to.
They're just all out of sync. And it made Ash Taylor look rather good. If you're doing that, the way that he's playing this year, that's sort of saying something. Look, the other thing with North Queensland as well, Jakey Granville was back, who I love, and I've sort of hated him sit on the sidelines for an extended period. He come on like Reece Robson only played 27 minutes and didn't play again.
Yeah,
Granville played the rest of the game, so I'm not sure what Josh Henne is thinking there. He's only three games into his coaching tenure, and I seriously doubt he's going to be putting his hand up at the end of the year to take the full time gig.
I just seriously doubt that he'll be picked.
The team's lost.
Yeah.
There's no effort there. It just defensively that they're so frustrated that they can't work out what is going on there. They've been a bit of a debacle this year. They had a clean out at the start of this year with a few sort of guys that they class as dead weight. I think that needs to continue at the end of this year.
Yeah, I agree. I still think they're missing a forward. Definitely before.
Oh, absolutely. They're missing bench depth. Like Cohen Hess is just not. Apparently, he's training the house down, but he's just not showing it on the field. I think he's got a bit of the Isan Masters syndrome. He's just trying too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have in their defense, if you really want to call it, but they have had some quality players out. I mean, they had.
Oh no, absolutely! But every team is dealing with injuries.
Well, that's true. Good point. Yeah, no, I think they're missing exactly is what you said.
What sort of popped up? I read in the Sunday Mail a couple of days ago that apparently John Cartwright, who I said a few weeks ago after Greeny got sacked, I think should come into contention. Apparently, he has rocketed into contention to coach the Cowboys next year.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd really like to see him up. Well, he was an assistant under Greeny for the premiership. So, I'd like to see him. I'd definitely like to see him get another first grade gig. One's been gone, but Nathan Brown going to the Warriors. So I think they've got themselves a good in there to try and rebuild. The Warriors at the moment, so congrats to them by signing Nathan Brown. Now it's North Queensland's turn to sort of they've still got it the pick of the bunch, and there's a good bunch to pick from.
I think surely Toddy Payton have to be in that contention the way he's. I agree with you. I think they need someone that's got some defensive shtick. And John Cartwright definitely had that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I still think for me that the top candidate for me is still Anthony Griffin. Like he's a little bit like Maguire. He sort of rules with an iron fist a little bit, but they need some steel in that defensive, yeah, in those defensive structures, because they're just they're poor at best.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. The last game was the Sharks and the Eels. Eels just literally getting over the Sharks 14-12.
Yeah, I didn't realize that that Cogra Oval was a pool, but by the end of that game, it turned into one.
Yeah, every time I love reading before the start of it, it's like ground conditions, and they're all like normal ground conditions, heavy.
Yeah, heavy. Yeah, that's heavy. That's it. Should be ground conditions. Bring a scuba suit.
It was a typical score with a typical completion rate in that kind of wet weather. Sorry. So you can't. I guess you can't sort of blame the scoreline or the players, but it just felt like it was lucky the Eels got away with it, because the Sharks technically should have won if they knew how to kick a ball.
No, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. 3-2 to Cronulla. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if Sean Johnson had brought his kicking boots with him,
yeah,
that they could have been, yeah, could have been a very different sort of game and scoreline. They got themselves and they scored too quick, like the Cronulla tries a bang bang.
They
rode the wave of momentum, you know, as a Sean Johnson 40-20 that ended up getting Molitano the second try for him, where he slid over the try backwards. It was a funny old game, just wet weather. Hard, like everybody's feet would have been heavy by the end of it. It's just unfortunate for Cronulla that, yeah, they couldn't kick a goal, because, yeah, three tries to two and right in it, right up until the end.
Did you like having Matt Moreland back at 5'8" there?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Moreland, he's a classy player. Like he got that intercept as well, and then he looked like he tried to open up. As he tried to go the length of the field, and he got to about the 40-meter line, and I reckon he would have been going, "Oh, better pull up here."
Yeah.
He's going to make that side better. He's just got to stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's all. I mean, it's been pretty much the story of his career.
And that sort of game really would have tested his hamstring out too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Heavy conditions. That really, really tested him out. If he hadn't played for a couple of weeks, he would have been knackered by the end of that game.
I think their biggest problem is still bench depth. They've won the 13, and only played the 4 game, and the bench depth really, you know, there's only a couple of players that played over 30 minutes. So, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's not no knock against the 1-13, because. You know, if you want to play, there's nothing wrong with it.
In a game like that, though, you really, really need you need to spread the minutes out a lot, because there would have been a lot of tired bodies by the end of that game. So you really need to sort of spread your bench out a lot. So that would have that really would have helped them if they had a little bit more sort of, you know, I guess sort of first grade talent, I guess.
Yeah, well, that was pretty much that's probably the best way to put it. So. That was it for round 12. Do you have your studs and duds of the week?
Look, I mentioned him earlier. Charles Nicol-Klokstad, that I thought was unbelievable for Canberra in a I guess a fairly well beaten side.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of tries, you know, pretty much single handedly trying to bring them back into the contest. He didn't play the full 80 either. He only played 76 minutes. He got a rest at the end. You know, a couple of line breaks, 9 tackle busts. Just thought he was massive for them for them to have any chance. He was everywhere. Just involved in everything. But it was I just thought he was absolutely one of my start of the week. In a fairly heftily. Well, it's, I mean, yeah, the Penrith really could have run away with that game, and didn't. So. I thought Nicol-Klokstad was huge.
Mine was another fullback, and it was, I mean, I sort of mentioned a little bit, but it was Kalyn Ponga. I mean, it wasn't even just the tries and his run meters, but, you know, three line breaks, 6 tackle breaks. Like he literally topped nearly every single stat that you could think of except for the tackles, but which is fine. I mean, he's done everything else. He was just phenomenal. It's interesting. He's he has a pretty decent kicking boot. Not so much the actual conversion attempts, but yeah, he's got a pretty sort of sweet kicking boot.
He has a good kicking game, but he just
can't be developed.
I think that's got to come along with time.
Yeah.
You know, a la sort of Darren Lockyer, I think that's just, yeah, he can be relied upon as, you know, a secondary option. But for him to be put in the front line, you know, as a first receiver, I think those days are ahead of him.
Yeah, I think so. And having someone like Mitchell Pearce there to help.
That's right. Well, really, I think it's the pressure's taken off him now too, with Blake Green being there.
Yeah.
He just provides that, you know, that calm, cool head, you know, a solid kicking game. And you know, you're not going to get anything super spectacular from Blake Green, but that's exactly what Newcastle needed.
Yeah, exactly. I think the coast needed more than anybody, just that sort of steady head in there. So,
yeah.
Your dart of the week?
Well, it's a, yeah. My dart of the week this week's the West Tigers. Like, you know, we can go in all the rubbish that gets going on with all the COVID-19 breaches and everything like that, which we'll get into in a tick. They've just, since beating the Broncos 48-10, three losses in a row, you know, okay, to Parramatta, that was fair enough, you know, a good team. Lost to the Warriors and now being belted by Newcastle. So, to me, they've just fallen off a cliff. Like, you know, they look scintillating against Brisbane. Okay, granted, it's against Brisbane, but they've just absolutely fallen off a cliff. McGuire's, like we said, you know, he's chopping and changing. You know, he may have found the right combination of the halves pairing and everything, and then he loses Billy Walters. So I guess that sort of takes him out of the equation, and now he's got that set halves pairing, I guess, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
It's just funny how they've just completely fallen off the face of the planet after giving the Broncos what for, a month ago. So they've got some problems there that they need to address quickly if they don't want to finish ninth.
Well, I was thinking about why, and you said it today, and you've said it every week that Michael Maguire likes to chop and change the squad. How much does he have to chop and change it? Is it actually affecting the team more?
No, that's right. Like, and that's the thing. And see, this is the thing I think too is happening with no reserve grade. You know, no Q Cup, no New South Wales Cup. That's hurting teams like the Tigers, where they just can't send people back and they play New South Wales Cup for a couple of weeks and get some reps in.
Yeah.
You know, still feel playing football, whereas all they got to do is just turn up the training. And they're doing all the training, and then they're not getting the reward for it now. So I think that's, with the teams like that need to get some players back into form, it's really, not having reserve grade is really hurting them.
My data of the week is built around all these COVID breaches, but it's sort of one in particular because of his, his lack of care, so to speak.
Egregious acts.
No. Actually, I've moved on from him. I mean, he's up there to be the penguin. No, I just, it's Wayne Bennett. I wouldn't say he's old enough because he's probably the oldest player in the NRL at the moment, obviously. And combined and everything. I mean, he's the oldest he's the oldest person in player coach in the NRL, but it's just the lackadaisical sort of thing. Why can't I go out to eat anymore?
Why can't I go to the kebab shop? Like, why can't I go to a restaurant? It's just like, well,
I still don't eat, aren't I? Like, you know, come on. Yeah. Like, it's, and Ben Eichen, you know, his
son-in-law,
but for other reasons, he's not Wayne Bennett's biggest fan.
He into him.
Well, you know, he took his wife's sort of side, he took the mother's side, and that whole sort of saga, that other saga. But Yeah, he said he was irresponsible and a bit arrogant, which he was, you know.
Absolutely.
Just because it's Wayne Bennett and, you know, he's done great things for the NRL, you don't get to do what you want. This is why they created this bubble.
He's clearly not worried about contracting COVID-19.
No, and unfortunately, he's in that terrible age where he could contract
that's
it.
Exactly. So. Like, yeah, I think that's it. Like I said, it's a little lackadaisy, I think, of him of just going, oh, I'm bulletproof Wayne Bennett.
And he also admitted that he's done it a few times.
Yeah, that's right.
So, we'll roll it into what the other sort of breaches, but yeah, just his nonplussed response to it. Like, he could basically, yeah, I can do what I want, or, you know, I can go there, I know. Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
Interestingly enough, he hasn't, and I don't know if it's because there was a few more coming, but he hasn't got fined or anything yet, which is,
He's just been placed into quarantine. So,
but there's other people that have done other breaching protocol things this season and
have been fined.
So,
yeah, that's right.
Like, Latrell Mitchell comes to mind. You know, but him and Adekar breached protocol technically. So, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, his nonplus approach is ridiculous.
It seemed a little arrogant.
Moving on, I guess, to the other breaches, we just mentioned him before, but Tevita Pangai, it's funny, already
probably seems to be the most severe of the lot.
Say so. Because he's, one of the articles says he went for a $650,000 haircut. So, basically, the Broncos look, so he's broken the bubble, so to speak, and went to a hairdresser that I think he's involved with. I don't know money wise, but he definitely has friends there. It was a hairdressing opening that was, I know they threw the word bike in there, but that's ridiculous. There were six known bikey gang members
there. And while he was there, the place was raided. So that sort of doesn't bode well for him either.
Not for opening a barbershop either, which is interesting.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. But just being entangled in that little web, you know, he's most likely an innocent bystander. Mm-hmm. But for him to be there in that sort of situation, it's like, oh, my God. Like, you know, is this – apparently at the start of the week, he wants out. He's shopping himself around. He's called the Roosters. They were the ones that were trying to get him. I can't remember if it was last year, the year before he signed this big massive contract. They basically said, no, we've moved on from you, mate. So, fair enough. The Roosters would probably have plenty of room under the salary sombrero. But they've essentially given him the brush. So is this? I don't know.
It hasn't been confirmed yet either, by the way.
Call me a conspiracy theorist, but was this deliberate?
Well, that's exactly what a couple of people said on 360. I don't know. You didn't watch 360, so you're.
I think it's brilliant. It could be
that's a couple of them said this. It could be a genius move by Pangai.
It's very smart to get.
I mean, unfortunately, the August 2 deadline's passed for signing players. So if he does get shown the door by Brisbane, which hasn't been confirmed yet. He won't be able to play for the rest of the season anyway. So keep an eye
on our Facebook page for that. We'll endeavour to try and steal that off Fox League and get it to everybody.
We'll see if we can as quickly as possible. interestingly enough, the first thought, and I'm sorry, you're probably going to hate it, but I mean, I don't know if he wants to go to Sydney, but my first thought is the first team that needed a forward was the Cowboys. That was the first thing that popped into my head. I don't know if they got the money.
The only problem is, like, if he only has, like I've said, you know, for a little while now, he only has good games against the Cowboys. How is he going to have any good games when he's playing for the Cowboys?
That's hilarious. Yeah, that is true, actually. Good point. He wasn't the only Bronco that broke protocol. There was the assistant coach, one Alan Langer, and two other coaches that decided to...
Alfie just want to go to the pub.
The world famous Caxton Hotel. they didn't do really anything wrong. Except for obviously breaking the.
They broke the NRL's COVID-19 protocols, right. Here in Queensland. it's not as, you know, insane as, you know, New South Wales and Victoria, that, you know, with, you know, in regards to, you know, supposed lockdowns and, you know, a lot of social distancing and stuff like that. So, you know, we're, you know, it's still a little bit sane up here for the meantime. But yeah, like they're in this, you know, so-called, they're in the team bubble. So, God damn it, I hate that word. They're in that team environment in the protocol for the NRL. And they've got to abide by those rules.
And yeah, well, that's exactly right. They've got a
blanket across the league that you can't go to the pubs, you can't do any sort of stuff like that. Well, that's just TS. Like you've just got to refrain. Everybody else is doing it. Look at what the sacrifice the Warriors are having to make by still being in Australia.
Good point. Like,
you know, have a look at, yeah, you know, okay, all well and good. You know, the Melbourne Storm, but they've been uprooted from their families and living, you know, lavishly at the Twin Waters Novotel on the Sunshine Coast, which is costing about $1 million a week for them to stay there. So, there's worse places to be. But, you know, they've been taken away essentially from their family. So these guys have just got to suck it up. This is what everybody else is doing.
The other one that broke protocol was Paul Vaughan from the St. George Illawarra Dragons. He decided to use a fake name at a cafe on a, by the sounds of it, random sort of Sunday.
Vaughan Paul or something.
Yeah. Vaughan Paul. That's awesome. That's actually a good action star name.
Vaughan Paul.
Yeah. No, I'm not Paul Vaughan. I'm Vaughan Paul. That's the other thing. Why use a fake name when unless people don't follow footy there, then no, surely they know what he looks like too.
They know what that is.
He's not a small guy.
Looks like. No, exactly.
A massive human being.
You wouldn't be able to forget Alfie's face, but you know, if Alfie just walked into a pub down there, you probably wouldn't know. Just a short guy walking into a pub. When Paul Vaughan's got to walk through your doors, and he's probably got to walk through it sideways because he's so wide. How are you today, sir? My name's Tom.
He admitted it freely, so I think because he got caught, so he was placed in a 14-day isolation hold. So,
obviously that's what they have to do anyway, because yeah, they've got to go back into that 14-day quarantine. But you know, like, that'll sort of, you know, whether or not that'll make your teammates a little bit shirty at you as well, that you've sort of, you know, and might make them sort of, you know, step up. Well, not so much step up, but sort of, you know, take heed to these, you know, to the warnings that they've been given out there, to say, look, just stay at home. Otherwise, you're not helping us. If you're in quarantine, you're not helping us. St. George needs some help at the moment.
Players and everybody sort of getting frustrated with the bubble. Is that why they're just doing it all of a sudden?
Well, I guess so. Like, you know, especially if, you know, New South Wales, you know, obviously nobody's in Victoria, but, you know, New South Wales is, depends on, I guess, what suburbs they live in down there too, whether or not they're on sort of full-on lockdown. They're not as bad as what Victoria is, but they would be told, like we were when everything sort of first hit, you know, only go out for absolute essentials. You cannot go out to restaurants and fast food and stuff like that. You know, go out for your shopping. You know, buy 62 rolls of toilet paper. You know, that's it. You know, go out and do your shopping, and, you know, maybe stop off at Uncle Dan's for a carton of beer, and then go home.
Uncle Dan's and 62 rolls of toilet paper. Sweet. So I know what you brought. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're in the bubble for a reason. At least it's not as bad as like the NBA bubble, where like they're literally on Orlando campus and they cannot leave.
It's almost like minimum security prison.
Well, it is. You know, they could be getting a bit of Stockholm syndrome for all we know. You know. I know they're probably being looked after phenomenally well, but, you know, who likes to stay in one sort of area the whole time? Not me. I don't know.
Well, To have a free run of the mill for a month or so at a Disney park, I think it'd be pretty sweet.
Well, that's
with
right.
With nobody else there.
With nobody else there, but I don't think the rides are operational, are they? We don't know that for sure. No, that'd be awesome if they were.
They probably don't have the appropriate training to operate those rides. So
Clippers and Lakers are in the final, and you know someone like Paul George
they're out riding the teacups.
Hey everyone! Hey, all you Lakers players, come on the ride. I'll look after you.
Who wants to go on a roller coaster?
So that was the among that sort of the big news, the sort of COVID breaches. There are other sort of little news coming out of unsubstantiated sort of rumors and the things flying around on social media as it always does, because is just a cesspool of.
It can be so toxic.
It's very, very toxic. About Anthony, I mean, it's all unsubstantiated, but about Anthony Seibold and a lot of personal stuff of why he broke COVID. Although he didn't break COVID, he specifically
he stayed in Sydney.
Right, you're right.
But essentially, yeah, he didn't travel back with the team. And now. Yeah, now all these sort of rumors and stuff have sort of been floating around the last couple of days, and they're not very flattering rumors, to say the least.
So much so, he's now got lawyers involved, and which then obviously that'll go to a sort of police matter. But it's just poor Broncos. I mean, I'm not a Broncos fan, but I'm also not a fan of that kind of crap. So to speak, that
no, that's
stuff
that's,
they sort that's, of as much as scum. The Broncos have been going through, just yeah, I just am not a I feel for the Broncos because again I'm not the biggest fan. I feel for the Broncos fans of their side's not going well.
I feel for the players that are wearing the jersey. I don't feel anything for the Broncos fans whatsoever. Sorry, Broncos fans.
This is a lot up here.
You've had your happy 35 years, right? So just every team has got it. Okay, this sort of rubbish is sort of now getting a little out of hand. But every team has got to go through lulls, and it's just taken them this long to sort of go through a bit of a rough trot. And this is basically just kicking somebody while they're down with Anthony Seibold.
Yeah, that's right, and that's and that's why it's regardless, rumors are rumors, and you you just don't. This is the whole toxic nature of social media. Once one thing sort of gets said and it gets floated around, it doesn't take long to get floated around on social media.
No, that's true.
Unfortunately,
retweets, shares, and
yeah,
all sorts of BS like that, and it just it doesn't take long for it to sort of get out into the cyber world, and then that's it. You know, a lot of dickheads out there will read that and just go, oh well, it must be true, and then they'll start running with it like that, and it just spirals out of control.
My thing is, out of all this whole Broncos thing, rumors aside, to me as much as what Seibold's going through with the players, why isn't the CEO being accountable for anything? He's the one that signed Seibold to a 5-year contract. He's the one that let Fifita go. He's the one that signed Pangai to a $650,000 contract. And we don't hear boo from Paul about Paul White. Sorry, not
you
from
definitely
Paul.
You definitely don't hear a lot about the Broncos. They're sort of those guys are sort of on the back burner a little bit. But like they said, they're a publicly traded entity as well. You know, they're owned by News Corp.
They are.
Friday
night games and everything like that.
Yeah, that would be correct.
So, but that's what I mean. Like, I think he's more accountable than anybody. He's the one that signed all these players. He's the one that apparently, I think it was Chris Johns, that was a shareholder or a stakeholder in the Brisbane Broncos. This is Chris Johns, old Super League Chris, sort of Chris Johns. When they had an annual AGM, he was he said the questions. He had some questions sort of lined up, but he was only allowed to say certain questions, and it was just basically like a fluff piece, so to speak. Like no one could speak their mind, and he blames the squealing on Paul White.
That's a, That's a fairly useless sort of, you know, get-together meeting then, isn't it?
Well, you just said, like, no one could say what they felt, even though they are shareholders, and it was just all because of, you know, the way it was run on the board. I don't think he specifically signaled out Paul White, but I just think the CEO is the one that's signed and done all this. I think he's the one, to me, that's got to be somewhat accountable for Brisbane's way, surely.
Well, it looks, yeah, to me, it looks like he's in the firing line. So, you know, there's stories out there that that Benny Eichen is
yeah,
absolutely put in his resume to take over as, or, you know, for the CEO position there at Brisbane. So, you know, whether or not they'll take it seriously or not, or, you know, I'm not sure. You know, he was on the board up here at the Cowboys for a few years.
Yeah.
So he's there. He's not just a football player and a guy on TV.
No, that's right. No, he has a mind for it. Just like, you know, I guess finishing up, same as Phil Gould. He's not just a guy on TV. He has a very, very good football mind. That's why the Warriors have consulted on him. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's going to be affiliated with the Warriors as well. So I think, yeah, that those two heads together, and Nathan Brown and Phil Gould working to bring the Warriors into somewhat sort of relevance, I think it'll be amazing for the league.
Actually, just finishing up, just reading now, Ben Eichen, I was out. It's a $50 million turnover business. It's more than just a footy team. It's a great opportunity. The resume has gone in officially. So, you know, he has officially applied. So,
that's right. Yep. Interesting. I've seen that a couple of hours ago. So, it's like, right, he's in.
He is ripe, but it's the biggest club, you know, in the NRL. So, well,
that'd be the most I can only assume that'd be the most profitable.
Oh, I have to 100%. They're the one of the few that have that massively beautiful performance center. So,
they got a big leagues club like they've done. That's where a lot of money is generated through leagues clubs and stuff like that. So
that's the
more that you can sort of get them out there, like have a look at Penrith, like their leagues club out there is gigantic.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, we know firsthand. It's massive.
That's crazy, that's got more pokies in it than what the casino does up here.
Yeah, it actually does too. Well, that'll do it. That'll do it for the week. Don't forget to follow us on the socials, which is Spotify, Podbean, everywhere, Twitter, we say it every week, Facebook, wherever you seem to get our podcast, you'll be able to get our podcast.
Yeah, Gimco, check us out. Check them out.
Yep, definitely. Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Haven't touched a pokey in about 2 years, Smith.
Oh, wow. My name is...
I only said pokies. I was very specific on that.
My name is Plum Miles, and
you should literally it would be funny, but you probably shouldn't, but I'd love to see you go somewhere and take a photo of you signing in somewhere with Plum Miles and just upload it to the page. That would be hilarious.
I guess I could do it at the Cowboys Leagues Club. You have to sign in there.
Just for Plum. Put it in Plum page.
We're going to the wrestling on Saturday night up here, the local wrestling up here, the QWA, so might have to sign in when we go in there too.
Yeah, and then upload it to Facebook just so people see it. just upload it to the page and we can not that you break a protocol.
As long as I don't get hit with a 2 week quarantine or a $10,000 fine.
I would assume you just say my I thought you had to put your surname first, not my first name.
Well, that's true. Yeah, sometimes they put your surname first.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it's just before we go. Both of us are wrestling fans. A little bit of sad news over the week. The Ugandan giant Kamala, his real name is James Harris, and he's 100% not from Uganda.
No, he's
actually from Mississippi.
He is from Mississippi.
Yeah, he died a couple of days ago. So, yeah, just yeah, that kind of sucks. Yeah, I used to love watching, you know, Kamala come out, and he had sort of had that little bit of a rivalry with the Undertaker, and you know, he had the casket match and everything with him, and sort of I guess he used to communicate with everybody by slapping his belly, and there was one sort of skit there where they had it was like one of the Saturday night's main event, and he's running through the arena like chasing a chicken, and you hear Vince McMahon saying, oh, go to commercial. So they, you know, they head off to ads, and then when they come back from commercial, and there's just a pit, yeah, there's just a camera in front of Kamala, and he's got a whole bunch of chicken feathers hanging out of his mouth, sort of suggesting that he caught and ate the chicken. and that, yeah, that's just what WWE, you know, WWF was back in sort of the late 80s, early 90s. But yeah, it just sort of sucks to sort of hear, a guy like that who's you know, you know who he, if you're a wrestling fan and an old school wrestling fan, you'll know who, you know, Kamala the Ugandan Giant is. Absolutely. It's just, yeah, it's just sad news to hear of his passing.
What's ironic is there's a current U.S. Democratic senator named Kamala Harris that's in the running to become Joe Biden's vice presidency candidate. So they said, like, literally every article usually when I read this guy, not to be confused by Californian Democratic Senator Kamala Harris. So I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Unless you're 70.
Get a little belly slapping.
Not that he have. I don't think it was all deceptive. I mean, literally 70. I don't even think he ever had a weight problem because he was a tall guy. So he was a very, very tall.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He had a belly on him, but for what he was, like, if you know, I remember some of his matches. He was an athletic dude for a big guy, and he used to come out of the ring with no shoes. He used to just wrestle barefoot.
Yeah, no, he did. You're right. He was. I mean, unfortunately, what caused it was COVID. So he contracted COVID.
And that's the thing that sucks about it as well. Like he was on a radio show that I listened to on ESPN Radio about 18 months ago. And yeah, he basically sort of come out and said that he didn't want to be a burden on his family anymore. He was battling diabetes, and he said it on the radio. He just wanted it to end. Like he just wanted this to be over. So, you know, in some form of, you know, irony, he's in a better place. He's not suffering anymore. He was in so much pain, you know, his knees, his ankles, his back, you know, that's the gig. That's professional wrestling. And that's what they went through back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, have a good week, everyone.
All right. See ya.
See ya.